Welcome to Leadership Decoded, a weekly podcast where I explore what good leadership looks like. I'm your host, David McQueen, an executive coach, speaker, and big-time student of all things leadership. My main aim is to keep the podcast long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to create interest. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Leadership Decoded. Hello. It's been a while, but it's good to be back. It's good to be back recording these episodes of Leadership Decoded. I actually wanted to start off on the 1st of January, at the beginning of this year in 2021, with a brand new shiny episode, but I wasn't ready. And I wanted to make sure that when I did relaunch this, that I was ready. Several friends have asked me, Dave, when are you coming back with your podcast? Others still have asked me, are you going to have guests or are you going to stay with the same format that you have been doing? And if I'm really honest, right about now, I am really happy just doing the singular one, where a bit like Seth Godin and Akimbo, I am able to do some stories and talk about my coaching approach to leadership, and that suffices for me for now. Will I be doing interviews in the future? Probably. I still have a couple in the bag, and maybe I will go back to that format, but for now, I'm quite happy with this. I spoke to Madeline, my wife and business partner, and really had a good discussion with her about whether I wanted to continue doing this. Is this something that I really am going to put my heart and soul into? Am I going to let it go by the side, or am I going to be really focused on it? And I spoke to a couple of other people as well, some friends, people in my team, some clients, just to figure out how I was really going to move this going forward. What purpose does a podcast like this serve for me? First and foremost, because I'm the one who has to be able to compile the content, think about the calendar, and then secondarily for the audience that I'm reaching, what difference is it going to make? How is Leadership Decoded going to make a difference in people's lives, if at all? In addition to this, I spent some time, especially over the Christmas period, looking at courses about growing an audience for podcasts, because I wanted to make sure that as I develop this, I do it with better quality audio, think about the kind of scripts that I would have, looked at ways of promoting it using Facebook ads and different forms of social media, and so much more. And the thing that really helped me to make a decision to come back to this was really good feedback. So recently, I've actually been thinking about how I can even add more value to the actual podcast itself, to Leadership Decoded. And whether other than just producing episodes, what are the kinds of ways that Leadership Decoded can add more value to you as an audience? I looked at some really good blogs that I follow, like FS Blog at the Knowledge Project. And I love the way that Shane Parrish there has a specific community that can see scripts and courses and additional material that most people who aren't members don't get access to. And even ad-free versions, I mean, I don't do ads, but, you know, ad-free versions of this podcast. And I thought, oh, that's quite good. I explored, should I actually start doing interviews as well? Should I line some people up? And last year, I had toyed with the idea of doing a separate podcast where I was amplifying the voices of Black leaders within the private, public, and third sector. And how would I do that with narrative interviews? And is there a way of being able to incorporate that in Leadership Decoded? And again, for now, I'm quite cool with the insights, and I'm just sticking with what I know. So yes, you know, I have considered, should I create a membership space around this? Could this space also be an opportunity for me to share my insights from the various books across economics, anthropology, psychology, coaching, business, philosophy that impact and influence my approach around leadership? How do I serve those? And this is a big question that came to me. How do I serve those with the same knowledge that I give but aren't in the usual corporate space as myself? How do I serve small and medium-sized businesses with the same kind of passion and energy that I give to the larger organizations? Yes, I can do a similar or a simple podcast, but are there ways that I can be able to encourage or to have a bit more in the way that I'm actually recording? And do I actually have the capacity to provide leadership mentoring and guidance by myself and others. And these are constant questions that I played around in my head. I wrote them down in my journal. And I asked a lot of people who I know quite well. And a lot of the decisions that I've made now have come back to, or I've arrived at, has been as a result of some really, really good feedback from individuals within my network. According to Ken Blanchard, feedback is the breakfast of champions. I've always wondered what happens to people who don't have breakfast, but you know, I'm going to run with what he says now. Feedback is the breakfast of champions. And that's what I want to focus on today on this episode, about feedback and how well it serves us as leaders, how well it helps us to think about how we're taking forward the vision that we have as leaders, the roadmap we want to take people on, and how well we really want to make it, or how effective we want our leadership to be, and what role does that feedback play in it. So this episode today is focusing on feedback and why we need it. So let's start with, what is good feedback? 2020 was a challenging year for many of us. I spent a lot of it working with senior leaders, excos, boards, and other forms of influential leadership in organizations. And a lot of that work involved shaping some kind of feedback on their leadership and their culture, usually defined by how inclusive it was. And good feedback is not just about placating people or blowing smoke up their ass, but rather it is about what you can share with them to help them become even better leaders. Both positive and negative or critical feedback are important for brave leaders. And how good that feedback is depends a lot on how we receive it. So in their book, Thanks for the Feedback, the authors Stone and Heen identified three types of feedback: appreciation, coaching, and evaluation. Appreciation is about saying thank you and showing gratitude. Coaching is how you provide guidance to help someone improve. And evaluation is where you give an assessment that lets someone know where they stand. A healthy element of what makes these approaches good is how we receive this feedback, and also how we know the difference or can guide people to the kind of feedback that we need. Think about the amount of times when you wanted to get a little appreciation or guidance, and someone weighed in with some really critical assessment you weren't even asking for, or in some cases that they weren't even qualified to give. For me, good feedback, especially in context, is always about how you can get to improve your leadership or the performances of those who you lead. It should be succinct, and it should focus on behaviors, the ones that are providing benefit and the negative ones that could do with changing. It shouldn't be watered down just to make people feel better, but at the same time, it should be delivered with a level of empathy that doesn't disempower the person either giving or receiving the feedback. For example, when I give speaker coaching to senior leaders, my job is to get them to deliver fabulous, high-stakes presentations. I will take them on a journey to identify what is working and then explore how we can improve, especially on the things that stand out. And I am cognizant that for some it can be nerve-wracking, so I tailor it according to the person, but the feedback formula, one I picked up from Toastmasters, is well-tried and tested. So I'm not out here trying to reinvent the wheel, but for my clients to become better speakers, I'm using a tried and tested feedback method. Likewise, when I'm providing leadership coaching to leaders, there are a range of tools that can be used. Personally, I like using regular feedback during the sessions. I love to ask questions and just to see where people are at. But in addition to that, there are times things like 360-degree feedback from peers, or if we think about the Hogan Leadership Forecast series, individuals who have personal advisory boards who are part and parcel of the coaching process, or just any other kind of real-time feedback system, can all play a major role in helping you as a leader to measure and focus what is or is not working for you as a leader. Good feedback for me then is about having tools and systems in place to make sure that you are able to find out what is really working for you and what are the things that you really improve on. It is intentional. Again, it focuses on the behaviors. It's not something that you take personally, although there may be some personal effects, but it's not personal because what people are looking to do is allow you to see how your behavior lands within the context of a wider organization. Which leads us to part two. Why do you need feedback? In some ways, I guess by asking what good feedback looks like, even before asking why you need good feedback, may seem counterintuitive. But hey, just walk with me. A lot of cheap seats in the arena are filled with people who never venture onto the floor. They just hurl mean-spirited criticisms and put-downs from a safe distance. The problem is, when we stop caring what people think and stop feeling hurt by cruelty, we lose our ability to connect. But when we're defined by what people think, we lose the courage to be vulnerable. Therefore, we need to be selective about the feedback we let in our lives. And for me, if you're not in the arena also getting your ass kicked, I'm not interested in your feedback. Can you have a guess who made that comment or that quote? Well, it was made by Brené Brown, the esteemed speaker and teacher and the individual who is very responsible for this resurgence of vulnerability and leadership. And it was a conversation that she had with the podcaster Tim Ferriss. Now, that quote by Brené Brown has always intrigued me, because I agree with her about the feedback we let into our lives, but as leaders, you are often going to get feedback from a host of stakeholders, whether you like them or not. And sometimes, some of it is what you actually need to hear as well. Last year, I spent a lot of time working with organizations around racial equity. And there were a number of individuals that had no idea how to deal with some of the really troubling issues that were presenting themselves in the workplace. Historically, in the UK, and still to this day, a lot of people are in denial about racism. They are in denial that racism exists either on an individual or a systemic level. And I'm not going to go into the details of that kind of philosophy right now. But when we started to have discussions and when we started to think about feedback to teams and to leaders and to organizations about the perception around racism and the kind of things that they can, you know, be involved in if they're going to have a really adult and professional conversation. But interestingly enough, and again, talking about the feedback that I got from a lot of individuals here, were that they were afraid. They were afraid of saying the wrong thing. And the wrong thing meant that if they said it, you know, that they could get cancelled. I hate that term, but let's work with it. They could get cancelled on places like social media, so people didn't feel safe to have those conversations there. Or they felt that if they said the wrong thing, it could end up in HR and it could be a disciplinary. Or that it just could be totally misconstrued. And so I remember developing a framework that I use in a lot of organizations called the 4L framework. And I think I've talked about it on a previous an episode. But I said to individuals, whenever we're having these tough and difficult conversations, let's first and foremost go in there with the first L, which is love. Assume that everybody's coming from a place of really good intent. Make sure that we go there with a really good energy when we're talking to people around differences, as troubling as it may be. And also recognize that when somebody says something, that they're coming from the point, they're addressing a point rather than the person. And when we can see that position of love, yes, we can continue to have conversations, but we see it primarily through the lens of being able to be direct but supportive to the individuals that we have around us. Then we had language, where we started to explore the language. We started to think about how we would interpret things that other people said, and we could ask better questions around it. The third one was listening. Are we actively listening for that feedback, or are we just looking for a specific answer that will allow us to tap into our own biases or assumptions around individuals? And then the last one was leverage. How do we use the love, the language, the listening, and the love, the language, and the listening, and leverage that so we can get really good feedback when we're talking to each other and when we're having those constant conversations, as I said before, real-time feedback, where we may have differences and we may see things through a different lens, but we're sensible and balanced enough to have those conversations in the first place. The honest truth is that leadership is not easy to master. It's something you grow into, and sometimes you may be in a position of leadership that you don't fit into. Millions and billions of dollars are spent on leadership development. Podcasts like mine probably got there, probably hundreds and thousands of podcasts that got about leadership and what have you. And the truth is it's not an easy task. And having things like feedback in there don't make it that much easier, but it does help you to understand where you sit in the whole grand scheme of things as a leader. If I had a pound for the founders who thought they were good CEOs for growing companies and they aren't, I tell you, I'll be very rich. And that doesn't necessarily mean that people can't learn, but very often, because there isn't that leadership development, people assume that they can move from, right, I founded this company, to now I can scale it, and to now I can grow it, and it could be really, really it can be done really well. The same instances of leaders who have done really well in one industry or a vertical, but have floundered badly in others because they cannot read the room or they do not want to be able to accept feedback. Feedback is critical. And this doesn't mean that you have to take on all the feedback that people give you, but being acutely aware of what is working and what is not working is an essential tool for any good leader. Especially if you define leadership as taking people on a non-coercive journey where you get the best out of them and they get the best out of you. Like, how are you really going to be a leader of a growing organization if you don't know how to read people or understand them or demonstrate your own leadership yourself? This is a core part of your job. And we can throw in all the posh terms and all the big words about strategic and inclusive leadership and agile and all the rest of it. But if you don't like people, go manage a process or something and leave the leadership to those who can. Those who can learn to lead people, but also who are able to take feedback. You can't lead a proficient or profitable team or organization if you don't know how to write a vision statement, set a strategy, read a P&L statement, or understand the customer experience. But most importantly, how are you going to take people to a destination if you don't know how to deal with feedback? So this leads me to the last bit of this short return to podcasting, how to give feedback. How the heck do you actually give feedback to people? And there are so many different ways that you can give feedback. And this podcast is not long enough to delve into each and every one of them, because I believe it's a practice that comes over time. And there are many that we can do. And I'm sure that I will address them in future episodes. But I mentioned a few tools earlier on, from regular input, one-to-one in one-to-one coaching sessions, to 360 feedback from your colleagues and peers, Hogan's, and a host of other tools. And if I'm really honest, I do believe they're all much of the same thing. And they come with their pros and their cons. But what we need to get right in the first instance, whatever tool or method we are using, is the context. So let me give examples. As I said before, when I used to do presentation coaching, which is something that I'm stepping back from, but I used to use a feedback tool called WIN, W-I-N. I say to my clients that I'm going to tell them what worked, W, where they need to improve, I, and what is notable, N. And so when I give that feedback, and I say to a lot of people, you know, when you're going to go and stand and give a presentation, you deserve to be here. That's my first thing. But then I will come back and I'll go, right, what is it that worked? And I'll start to talk to them about tone, the stories that they use, the data that they may have used in being able to present it, the style of delivery that they had. All those things may have worked really well. Then I may say things like how they can improve. Stop using fillers. Don't speak too fast. Think about your audience. Your presentation design may suck, and I think it probably would be better if you outsource it and give it to somebody else. But what is really notable? The way you were able to use that data, the way you were able to really engage when somebody asked you a question, the way you were able to be really present, those things end up being part of the formula that I give to presenters to really help them, to leaders to be better presenters, if you excuse the pun. On the same token, when I appreciate someone for doing something, I will tell them, I'll give them that feedback as well. You did a really good job today, Susan. The customer was really impressed with the way that you handled it. Or, I love the way you were aware of the quieter voices in the meeting, Jimmy, and you amplified them. Those are always feedback tools that I will pull on as well. There may be that instant feedback of praise and really encouraging people. But then there are also times when you need to shut shit down. The way you spoke to your colleagues was inappropriate. We don't value that kind of communication here, so I need you to think about how you're speaking going forward. You turned up late and you didn't contact anybody. That's disrespectful to other people's time. And it's not just about you. There are other people depending on everybody being here on time so we can get these things going. Those are times where I've had to be very direct with individuals. And that direct feedback was just as important as the ones where I'm encouraging someone. So this lends itself to the point I made earlier about appreciation, coaching, and evaluation. The context here is not shying away from feedback. Sometimes it will be feedback that will uplift others and encourage them. Other times it might be something that will be direct to correct behaviors. The skill here is knowing how to do it effectively so that the message hits home and people aren't confused about what it is that you're trying to say. So in the short time I've been here today, I hope that the content around feedback has been really helpful to you. There are some really good books as well. There's a book called Radical Candor, which is a really good book about being able to be in a space where you have these really open conversations. There's crucial conversations. There are so many different resources that you can pull on to make sure that you have really good feedback. But for me, most and foremost, or first and foremost, shall I say, it comes from practice. It comes from working with your people, understanding where they're coming from, and making sure that you're listening to what they say as well. So thank you very much for listening. And please, I'd love to definitely have some feedback from you as well. Now, for those of you who don't know, and if you don't know, I'm going to tell you now, I have, my site is hosted primarily on Anchor. So Anchor, ANCHOR.FM/David-McQueen, M-C-Q-U-E-E-N. So ANCHOR.FM/David-McQueen. And on that page, you'll see on the heading, you'll see my big smiley face for Leadership Decoded. But just underneath it, you'll see that there's an opportunity for you to send me messages. So if you want to feedback on this episode or any kind of episodes that I've done before, you're more than welcome to give me some of your thoughts back then, and then I'll be able to share it, because I want to bring in a new element of being able to pick up some questions that people may have had from my previous shows. So thank you very much for tuning into this show, and I hope that the points that I raised will really help you to be better at giving feedback as a leader. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Leadership Decoded. Until next week, stay safe and take care.